Okay, we're going to jump in today. We're going to talk about our victory in Christ, and we're going to read some of the Bible, which I think is a good thing to do in church, don't you? And as you're getting that ready, I wanted to mention to you in the beginning here about some of the signs that you might experience if you are under a spiritual attack. Would that be good to notice? Let's say if you begin to lack spiritual passion, just a lacking of spiritual passion, where the enemy comes to steal your tenacity for the things of God, you just begin to wither up a bit. Suddenly you just, your prayer life, you just don't even want to spend time with the Lord. You just kind of get empty feeling. Your commitment seems to be tested. You push away. The lack of spiritual passion is a sign that you're being attacked by the invisible work of darkness. By the way, how many of you know the verse well, but it says that the devil does not come and except. He doesn't come for a nice visit, except he's going to do something. Steal, kill, or destroy. But it says Jesus has come that we would have life and have it more abundantly. Here's another one. Just experiencing frustration. During a spiritual attack, there's just different things that just come on your mind. You begin to feel on edge or anxious. Here's another one. Confusion. Just come under a sense of confusion, even about what you're doing or purpose and things. That's one of his goals, is to bring up confusion. The Bible teaches that God is not the author of confusion, but the adversary is. Here's another one. Lack of peace. You begin to feel irritated and exhausted, which goes along with the next one. And by the way, mental fatigue can come along with spiritual warfare. You just get like, what am I doing? And the next one is sluggishness and tiredness. You just get fatigued feeling. Lack of sleep. I've been sleeping more lately. Feeling good about it. I'm not staying in the bed too long, but maybe it's the getting older, but I do rest and make a point to rest and get up to, do whatever I got to do. Here's another one, strong urge to quit. Has anybody ever had, I've mentioned it a minute ago during the worship, strong urge just to give up on your commitments to the Lord? That's a sign of spiritual warfare. Is this helpful to anybody? So you realize now, okay, we've been under spiritual warfare. This is not normal. This is the adversary. Okay, once you identify this, and here's another one. Here's drawn back to old bondages, old problems, old things, old ways. You want to solve something by doing something that you used to do that the Lord led you out of. Now you look to that. Or questioning direction. In addition to, things were so clear, but now you're just wondering about that. So I want to talk today about, the Lord alerted me to this, and I was going to do a message on, I had studied all kinds of stuff. And I was just loaded, I've been really loaded recently and just enjoying it. And then we declare things kind of built up. And I thought, I looked around, I thought, well, let's see, we had extra services, had the Good Friday service, and that was an extra thing. And then we're doing this other project with getting all these things ready for the building. And then I had a little thing happen down in North Carolina with my brother, then he solved that, but that was another distraction. On Monday, which is my day off, and other things. How many of you have things when you're supposed to be resting, something else happens? And so there's just, it was like, and I could put my finger on it, and I felt okay, but this just more, it like more and more and more, like this next, this is on you, now this is on you, now this is on you, now this, I get to beat up, be careful. And you're going, it must just be life. It just must be life. It just must be life. And you finally, and the Lord says, it's the adversary. It's the adversary. There's something that really helps me when suddenly I know. It's like a ray of light comes through the cloud, and I go, what? Devil! And I rise up. Before I know, I don't know what to do. But after I know, I said, it's dealing with the adversary is not unlike running a dog off your property. Get out of here. And just whatever you've done to open up to it, you got to repent if you've done. Lord, forgive me for not even seeing this. Help me, Lord. Right? And by the way, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not people. people can really be on your nerves, and you don't rebuke people. There's a spiritual side of our life, isn't there? So if you feel like any of this is actually meaningful, say something. Okay. So I can continue. There are times when you and I need to be with that same anointing, just like came on Shammah with the beat. You got your sword in the beam, you're covering your beam. So the Holy Spirit comes on you and you just do the war. And there the warring, and the next thing you know, the whole troop of Philistines is fallen, and you're standing there, and God has given the victory to you. There's other times, though, that there's something that mounts up because you're going as a group. And Jehoshaphat was being threatened by annihilation when three groups of adversaries begin to come down upon them. And they laid down that before the Lord, and they got these, you know, papers and all this stuff about, we're going to annihilate you. And they laid it down before the Lord and sought the Lord, fasted, prayed. And as a group, they rose up. As a group. And they walked out before the Lord and declared that this battle is not ours, it's the Lord's. So I want us to look at the ultimate source of all of our victories. And I have written on your notes there, Revelation 18. I'm not going to read Revelation 18. But I have some scriptures. I just want to walk through them with you today. So I want to invite your spirit to be attentive and just draw in, lean in, because during Revelation 18 we see that this uses language like this. Babylon the great harlot uses that kind of stuff. So you have a couple of themes, and this is the end times, and you have a couple of themes, and one of them is sexual immorality. One of them is merchandising the souls of men. And a few years back we didn't hear a lot about trafficking, human trafficking. Well, that's in the Bible. That's all in the Bible. All that's going on is spoken very clearly in the Bible. And so we see a victory beginning to be wrought. And in verse chapter 19, I want to start here. It says, after this, I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just. For he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And once more, they cried out, hallelujah, for the smoke goes up from her, goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice saying, praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. And then I heard what seemed to be a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. Hallelujah, for the Lord Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. Elbow somebody, say, I'm in there. And it granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And an angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. And then I fell down at his feet to worship. But he said to me, you must not do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Cue in here. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he's called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By the way, this is reality. I just want you to know that. This is not a storybook. This is Jesus Christ, the living God. The one that rose from the dead is coming back as Almighty God. He's coming back, and he's coming back not to redeem. He's coming back to judge. He's given a chance for everybody to come to Him. But now, if you haven't come to Him and you stay in your stubborn ways and you don't turn to Him and say, I need the Savior, I need the washing of this forgiveness over my soul, I need a God that will redeem me out of what I can't redeem myself out of. If you turn to Him in these days, then He's coming back for you. Hallelujah. And on His robe and on His thigh, He has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, this next little section here is just, R-rated, okay? And then I saw an angel standing in the sun with a loud voice. He cried to the birds that fly directly overhead, come, gather for the great supper of God to eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and the riders and the flesh of all these men. If you saw this, it would probably be rather gross. And both free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth with their armies gathered to make war against Him who was sitting on the horse and against His army. And the beast was captured, with it the false prophet who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped its image. And these two, get ready to applaud, were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. And the rest were slain by the sword that came out of the mouth of Him who was sitting on the horse, and all the birds were gorged with the flesh. And these are not normal birds. The concept here is this demonic power. It's a metaphor for demonic powers. It's like the demons you gave to are now going to devour you. The sins you gave to, now you could become the picking ground of all the mocking and jeering and just devouring your life. And look at this. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were ended. And after that, he must be released for a little while. Then I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom authority to judge was committed. Also, I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus and for the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received its mark on their foreheads or their hands, and they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Those people that we know about, this is where they are. This is all contemporary news right now. This is reality. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ, and they will reign with Him for 1,000 years. I'm excited. I like this part of the Bible a lot. And when the 1,000 years ended, well, this part, it's really amazing that he pulls this off. But Satan will be released from the prison, will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. Gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. In other words, you have a 1,000-year reign with Jesus Christ there in person. And Satan's released after 1,000 years, and still people have not received the Lord standing right in front of him. You know what that shows you? That shows you that the flesh is stinking enough without the devil around. That the flesh will send you to hell without the help of the devil. You can't say the devil made me do it, because the Savior is standing right in front of you. Isn't that amazing? So he comes back. They marched over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. This is like an army that Satan has pulled together from all kinds of people who have chosen not to believe in the Lord, even though he's there. But the fire, look at this, just like he did in the Old Testament. But the fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. I really like that part. I'm looking for Satan getting his due. Are you? Forever and ever, day and night. Just read this article. A jihadist got shot in the battling, I think, with Syria or somewhere. Anyway, he's left for dead. He's from ISIS. He's on the battlefield. Some Catholics see him. So they figure, just take his body and give him a decent Christian burial. So they take his body. Who's motivated like that except followers of Jesus Christ? Okay, followers of Jesus. Complete opposite spirits. So they're taking this guy. He comes back to life. He's not actually dead. You know where he's been? He's been to hell. And the Lord says, you have a choice. Me or the choice you've made. You can come back to life or go where you determined to go. He said he was in such torment, he was watching through the eyes of the people, the heads of the people he decapitated. He was so in torment, he chose life. He came back. And he didn't know, because, you know, they don't know to call God, you know, God, Allah. They just go. And within about 3 or 4 days, he realized that the Lord God came to save him. He gave his heart to Jesus. Do you know there's over, oh gosh, I forget how many millions, but there's millions and millions of secret Muslims now who are Christians. And this is the one thing that they all have in common. The one thing they all have in common. They saw Jesus in a dream. Jesus, the great evangelist, has come. And he said, it's me. And that's what they all share. Did you have the dream? Yes. And they're secret. Because if they say something, the head comes off. Can you imagine this? When I was young, I like to look at the front row and say the young. When I was young, I never imagined I would face these days. Ever. I would read about them, but I would not think. I think this will happen after I'm gone. This is amazing how this has all happened. So now, we'll watch this part. This is the next part, verse 11. And I've only got a little bit more, and then we'll actually get into the actual notes, okay? Everybody still with me? I just really felt that we should read the Word of God, because this victory, this Jesus, is in charge of all of this. And we can have confidence and trust in the Lord. Look at this. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fell away. Now, that's pretty amazing. And no place was found for them. Wow. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Books were opened. And then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they had done. And the sea gave up their dead who were in it. And death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. And then, this is every person ever been born, goes and stands before Jesus Christ. And so you got the sea. How many people went down in the ocean? And their remains are even gone. Maybe a little dust, is they come up. Every single person's come. Every person ever born comes before him. And God is just, and he knows everything. And the books of their life are opened, and the Lamb's book of life is opened. And every soul will come before Jesus Christ. Every person. Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to come before? Now, this is the great white throne judgment, which is different than the judgment seat of Christ. The believer comes to the judgment seat of Christ. It's a little bit different thing. When the believer comes before the judgment seat of Christ, is that we've come in through the shed blood of Jesus. Our sins have been forgiven. But now what it is that's tested is the deeds done in the flesh, what you've done for him. And he says there's a reward if you're they take what you've lived and put it in the fire, and you either get it's either burned up like hay, wood, and stubble, it says, or, and I think this is just so cute, because years ago, Nick told me that his beard was called the Haywood Stubble. But anyway, and then or gold, silver, and precious stone, that there's a rating to how we've lived our lives. But this is the Great White Throne Judgment. And it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, then he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay, so that's chapter 20. We're going to touch a little bit of chapter. Is everybody still with me? Well, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I can't even wrap my head around this. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her bridegroom. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, listen to this, guys. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. When Jesus pre-incarnate was here fellowshipping with Adam in the garden in the cool of the evening, before Adam was formed, the word declares that he took the dust of the earth and he formed man in his own image and likeness. So we're formed in God's likeness. Do you know why that's true? Because Jesus came in the form of a man, and now he's in heaven as a man. He was formed in the likeness. Isn't that amazing? We have a man in heaven who came and died for us, who rose from the grave and broke the powers of darkness to hold our life. And every person will stand before him. We said last week, I think it was, religion has 3 points. God's good, you're bad, try harder. But Christianity is different. God is good. You're not all that cool. There's none righteous, no, not one. But Jesus Christ has died for you. And when you receive him, he gives you his life. And it's called eternal life. And he declares over you, you are righteous in my eyes. And then he puts his spirit within you and begins to work inside of you to conform you to his actual image. And you begin to hate things that you used to do that were wrong and begin to love things that you didn't like, begin to like things that you used to despise. I was always freaked out about those people who said they talked to the Lord. They freaked me out. And I'm one of them now. And God speaks to me, and I can actually understand, and he walks with me, and he talks. I understand at him. Before it was like, that's grandma. She would sing that, and I guess she does that, right? Let me make another spitball. But now I'm walking and talking with Jesus. And so we have, he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. And it's the heart cry of God when he made Adam in the garden to have fellowship. And you choose him because you desire him. And that's something. These are days what we need to be talking about this, don't you agree? Because there's everything is out for your attention. Everything wants your attention. Look at this. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. So if you got to wipe away tears from people's eyes, do you think there was struggle? And he affirms, death shall be no more. You don't have to fear that. Neither shall there be mourning. Well, no more loss or crying. I looked up these words. Mourning, you know what the Greek word for mourning is? Mourning. I looked up all these words. And they're all just what they say. Crying. Pain. No more pain. For the former things have passed away. And he was seated on the throne. He says, Behold, I'm making all things new. He also said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, if I repeat this, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I give from the spring of the water of life without payment. To the one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son. And then he throws down 8 things and they're not going to be there. But as for the cowardly, and then I looked that one up. And the cowardly is the person who under persecution leaves the Lord. It's too hard for me. And they turn completely away from him. It's called apostatize is the actual word. It means to completely desert your faith because you think there's just way too much pressure. And it says the cowardly in this group and the faithless, those that choose not to believe, there's a difference between doubt and unbelief. You can have honest doubts, but unbelief is a choice. I'm just not going to believe. The detestable, it's just something that turns your nose up. It's the same word for abomination. It's like, I don't know. So I guess you could just put gross out. I don't know what God considers to be gross. But as for those three things, and as for this, murderers. And I looked up that word, and it means homicide. Some death. Sexual immorality, the sexually immoral. I looked at this word. It's not popular to even talk about this word, but it actually means a male prostitute. And that's something. It means it's a man. I think it can also mean fornicator and adulterer. But it's basically that. Sorcerers, people who make magic potions it's more pharmakeia, it's a drug-related thing. Idolaters, this is really emphasizes more the mammon, the spirit of mammon, worshiping money, desire of money. And all liars, that pretty much sweeps up the rest of it. If I missed anything, let me go ahead and sweep in there. Now, how many of you feel like I'm not so happy reading all this? And their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Now, here's the point. All these people, me being one of them, can come through faith in Christ Jesus. By the grace of God, we're all saved through his shed blood and forgiveness of sins is given. These are the people that determine, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not submitting. I'm not going to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and receive forgiveness of my sins. I'm staying put. In my sins, by my choice, this is what I'm doing. Well, those people never enter the kingdom of God. They never enter. It says they're, in fact, they're thrown into the lake that burns with fire. This is rough, isn't it? And then it goes on and talks about the dimensions of the, I didn't want to read that part, but it's all about the different stones and stuff and how long and how big and the city is made. It says this then, verse 22, pick up. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God gives it light, and its light is the Lamb. There's no reason for the sun anymore. But its light will light the nations. By its light, the nations will walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. It's kind of like living in Alaska when the sun is up, you know. And there will bring into it their glory and honor of the nations, and nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's go to point number one here. Jesus' victory is our victory. Jesus' victory is our victory. Jesus Christ is Lord. He gives eternal life through relationship with himself and the forgiveness of sins, and then propels us into victory to him, in him, to live in his victory. We must know this. How many of you know that you don't have victory outside of him? Now, I have really enjoyed the opening. Now I have to hasten. So we're going to... The rest part is going to be like throwing a rock across a lake. We're going to skip, okay? But I want to read this verse. It's on your paper there. Look at the verse. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, several things have happened for you. God has made you alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses, canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. And that's, I wanted to emphasize this. That all happens on the cross. Now, here's what happens. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Go ahead and say, Jesus' victory is my victory. Number two, his victory is certain for believers. His victory is certain for believers. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. For everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. I want to tell you, it was an amazing thing looking at the healing of the man with born blind. He actually had no eyeballs. No eyeballs. There's no images. The only thing he knows is what he feels. He hasn't seen no images in his mind. His whole life, he grows up, no eyeballs. And Jesus takes mud and spits in it. And you know what was in the spit? Jesus' DNA. Jesus' DNA was in the spit. We didn't know that back then. But CSI went. And we found that he got Jesus' eyes. And everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. That's what's in the DNA. You're born of God. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. How many of you have had moments where you say, Jesus, and suddenly something rises up, peace happens, changes go on, and the situation, the turbulence, everything in the atmosphere, no big deal, all peaceful now. What happened just then? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you're more than a conqueror through him who loves you. Last, this is a big one. Our thankfulness appropriates his victory. Our thankfulness, this is really big. And we're going to camp on this. As soon as you guys write that down, let's go ahead and hand out the elements, the bread. Our thankfulness. I want to tell you, it's really important. The reason they didn't go into the promised land was because of complaining. Complaining. When the going got tough, they started complaining. Complaining will cut off everything to do with the forward movement of your life's potential in Christ Jesus. Complaining will just neuter it, kill it, shut it down. Thankfulness is the protocol of worship. The word Todah, T-O-W-D-A-H, is the word in the old Hebrew word that means to enter as a procession coming before the Lord, declaring who he is and what he's done in advance. It's the same word that says enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's the word Todah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Notice this verse here. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us. Everybody say always. There's not one time that the Lord's not going to lead you in triumphal procession. Always leads us. Always leads us. And I think it's really interesting that thanks be to God is first. Thanks be to God who always leads us. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Have you had times when you just really needed the gentleness of Jesus to come alongside you? Now we're holding this, and Jesus said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat of the new covenant. Remember, you know, when you as often as you will. And we always think in terms of his body being broken because he said, this is my body broken for you. I want to put a little twist on it, a little spin on it today. I want us to receive it as Christ's resurrection body. That Jesus' victory is our victory. Now, how many of you have been vulnerable before and really been afraid to be vulnerable? Usually we're afraid to be vulnerable because we're ashamed of what we've done wrong. But when the Lord brings wholeness into your life and you become more healthy, it's a funny thing about vulnerability. The person who's vulnerable feels weakness, but they're perceived as strong by other people because they're being transparent about their struggle. And Jesus says, I will come and be what you can't be in the midst of your weakness. My grace is sufficient for you. And that's what this is about today. Let's lift it up before the Lord. Lord, we thank you and praise you. I want to ask, if you're hanging with us today and you just want to say in your heart, Lord, I receive you. I receive you. I receive you today. I receive you. Confess with your heart. Jesus is Lord. With your mouth. Jesus is Lord. Believe it in your heart. And declare this. I receive you today. That's what's the essence of salvation is. It's a confession with the heart and the mouth, embracing the Lordship of Jesus. Let's all just declare it. Lord Jesus, I receive you and your resurrection life and the forgiveness of sins today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's partake together. As you're receiving the cup, we have one last scripture on the paper. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortal, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. I say, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. One more time. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Now, can I invite you just begin to thank the Lord? Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed for us. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, Lord, for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, for the healing of our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for every place in us that's been vulnerable, that we can acknowledge our need before you and be loved and cared for. We thank you, Lord, you're the great shepherd of the sheep and the judge of all mankind, and have made a way for us into your very presence, that you would be our God and we would be your people forever and ever. I pray for an unusual sense of encouragement today, that by your Spirit you just breathe into us a hope that we have not known, a restoration, a restoring, a renewing of our life. Breathe us in and breathe us out. Cause there to come in us a supernatural hope and help for these days like none other. I pray for, Lord, we understand that our minds are renewed by hearing who you are and the story of your life. I pray for that touch on every mind. We thank you for your blood shed for us. And now, Lord, we also invoke the power of that blood to flow through us and forgive everybody that's ever harmed us. I just ask for you to do that work. Lord, especially where there's just a sense of pain relating to fathers, I would say, Lord, let there come a welling up of the work of the Holy Spirit to bring forgiveness where that point of bitterness with a dad would be in the way. Where fatherless would want to just cause an ache in the heart. We say, we forgive you, Dad, in the name of Jesus. We forgive you. Would you say that when we forgive you? I forgive you, Dad. If he's not ever been there for you, say, I forgive you in Jesus' name. If he's been mean or just absent emotionally, say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. If he led you the wrong way, say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. Because he was not God. But the Lord God comes, he says, I will be your dad. I will be your father. I will be your father. I will be a father to you. And the shed blood of Jesus brings about a new hope inside of our heart and breaks the chains of fatherlessness and releases us into a place of sonship that we've never known, a sense of confidence and restoration to stand upright before the Lord. We're about to partake the cup. Let's just praise the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And it doesn't matter where you are along the road. The Lord is with you and overseeing you and cherishes you. And you're adorable to him. You're cared for. You mean a lot. You're so valuable to the Lord. Never forget that. Never think it's somebody else that's valuable. It's not true. It's you. You're the one that's so valuable to him. You must see. Your eyes must be open and see how cherished you are. You were on his mind when he went to the cross. He's God. Of course you were on his mind. It's impossible for you not to have your face before him. Way before you were conceived, he loved you with an everlasting love, knowing you would show up one day. For he desires that you would be his
son, his daughter, forever and ever. It's a choice he gives you and makes a way for you. And all of life's harsh burdens come off because he says so. He says, take my burden on you. It's easy. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Learn me. Take my life. Holy Spirit, we just contend that things that have been against the people of God be broken. And the blood do its work and deliver today. And then come release from every point of captivity. And an overthrow of all the things that seek to harsh wind us out of this and push us there and discourage us. No more in the name of Jesus. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And your shed blood is the proof. And as we drink together, I thank you for the revelation of the depth of your love. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.